Scripture for today is printed on the back of your worship leaflet. You can follow along if you would like to, or read in your own edition of the Bible that you may have brought along with you. Words of Jesus from the 10th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. A little sparrow somehow got into the rafters of St. Helen's Church in the English town of Brant Broughton. Doesn't that sound English? Brant Broughton. At the time of the intrusion into the sanctuary rafters, they were recording a guitar recital for broadcast later on regional radio. Well, the chirping bird did not exactly chirch along with the rhythms of the guitars, so the pastor, Reverend Cardy Clark, his given name, first name, was Cardinal, but everyone called him Pastor Cardy Clark, called up a friend to please bring his pellet gun over to the church to shoot the intruding sparrow. Well, the killing of the sparrow became front page news in England. The London Daily Telegraph ran a clever headline that read, "Cardinal orders death of sparrow." Editorials and letters to the editor flowed, scolding what they called the cruel and unusual punishment for that lowly little bird. People who had not darkened the door of a church in decades suddenly remembered Psalm 84 that declares in verse 3 that even the sparrows are welcome at the house of the Lord. This passage in the Bible is among the more comforting, reassuring verses in scriptures, I believe. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Someone put it into the form of a little rhyme. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I'd really like to know why these nervous human creatures rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I guess that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." Johnny Erickson Tata, I think it's Tata actually, that wonderful writer who praises God, even though years ago a diving accident left her as a quadriplegic. She writes, "I glanced at the bird feeder outside my window and I smiled. I could understand Jesus noticing if an eagle or a falcon or a hawk fell to the ground. Those are among the larger and more famous birds that God created, the kind worth attending to. But a tiny, grimy sparrow? They're a dime a dozen. Jesus said so himself. Yet from thousands of bird species, the Lord chose the most insignificant, least noticed, scruffiest little bird of all. A tiny thing that even dedicated bird watchers ignore." But she says, "That thought alone calmed my fear. I had been feeling insignificant and unnoticed. However, if God takes note of each humble sparrow, who they are, where they are, and what they are doing, I know that the Holy One keeps tabs on me. Well, sparrows are lowly little birds. That was also true in biblical times. They were considered food for the poor. Now, how many sparrows would it take to make a feast for a large Middle Eastern family? That would be quite a few, it's my guess. And because they were so cheap and inexpensive, the needy Jewish worshipers could offer them in sacrifice to the Lord if they could not afford a lamb or a goat or a bull. And you could buy two sparrows for a penny. David Attenborough, I like his programs on the public TV channels. Attenborough says they are some of the most bountiful, widespread birds in the world. Where you find people, you'll find sparrows. They live in mostly populated areas because they are scavengers of our leftovers. Yet Jesus' choice of sparrows as an example of God's watch care in keeping is making the point that heaven takes careful notice of even the most common, unnoticed little creatures. So how much more are we kept in God's eyes and heart and mind? I was reading that there are about 55,000 bald eagles in the United States and Canada, but about 30 million sparrows live in the United States alone. 30 million. Still, God notices, the Lord sees the hops and flights and falls of each and every one of them. What an encouraging word from Jesus. I need to hear it again because sometimes I become worried or uptight or anxious. Now I think, at least I hope, I catch myself thinking nervous thoughts more quickly than I used to, but sometimes my own thoughts, my own feelings are among my worst enemies, I'm sure. Yet at least three things in Matthew chapter 10, at least three times in Matthew the 10th chapter, Jesus says, fear not, fear not, fear not. There's an old comedy movie from the early 1980s called Airplane, and I do not recommend that you watch it if it's all together up to you. Airplane, and there's a scene where an elderly lady passenger is sitting next to the character called Ted Stryker as the plane is about to take off. Nervous, the older lady asks. Yes, Stryker replies. Thinking this might be his first flight, the lady asks, first time? Stryker answers, no, I've been nervous lots of times. Jesus, however, wants to set us free and unbind us from all those fears, whatever they may be. And in this passage this morning, we have that declaration that the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-caring eyes of the Lord are taking in everything and everyone, missing nothing, hoping even to embrace all in that gracious and the gracious and everlasting arms. I read a little saying on Facebook last week that said, calm down, take a deep breath. Just because you don't have everything you want does not mean that you don't have everything you need. I like that. Calm down, take a deep breath. Just because you don't have everything you want does not mean that you don't have everything you need. Trust, faith, hope, leaning on, counting on God's unending, unconditional love should give us a sizable sense of freedom about living our lives, along with a gallon or three of joy and, I don't know, 300 pounds of peace. To the sadness of many of us, myself included, the professional baseball season is winding down this time of year. But there's an anecdote about Casey Stengel, and I tried to triple check this. Casey Stengel is best remembered as the longtime manager of the New York Yankees. However, he ended his baseball career as the manager for the lowly New York Mets. And the Mets then were an expansion team, and at that time they were painfully terrible. Yet they won over the hearts of New Yorkers, partly due to the interesting character of Stengel, their veteran manager. As a young athlete himself, Casey spent 6 seasons as an outfielder for the Brooklyn Dodgers, the then Brooklyn Dodgers. Then he was traded to Pittsburgh. However, when he played his first game back at the Dodgers' Ebbets Field, the fans booed loudly his first trip to the plate as a Pirate. Now, rather than being resentful and uptight, Stengel decided to win back his former fans. And seeing a sparrow caught in the outfield fence, he rescued the little bird and gently tucked it up underneath his cap. Well, when the crowd reacted with boos and catcalls during his second at-bat, Stengel called time, stepped back, gave a sweeping bow to the crowd as he doffed his cap, and the little sparrow, of course, flitted quickly away. Well, the jeers turned into cheers, and Stengel became a crowd favorite once again. He was not much affected by the boos and catcalls and negativity. On the inside, he was creative. And if we are at peace and okay on the inside, then we will be more able to meet the outside, whatever comes, with confidence and Christian love. And I'm sure that this is some, at least, of what Jesus has in mind. We operate best in the world when our lives are built on the truth that the Heavenly Father is always, ultimately, in charge. So if things look scary now, that is not the final chapter. The final chapter has God working out everything wonderfully, beautifully, with unending wisdom and unending love. The great psychologist William James arrived at a similar conclusion. He said, our basic belief at the beginning of an uncertain task and our belief all through the endeavor is the one thing that will keep us on our feet no matter the project's outcome. Our basic belief at the beginning of an uncertain task and our belief all through the endeavor is the one thing that will keep us on our feet no matter the outcome. And faith is a gift from God. Faith, believing, trusting, having confidence in, is a God-given, God-made, Christ-inspired thing. It is not something of our own invention or our own concoction. It is a gift of the ultra-loving, good heart of the Lord God. Now, can we practice it? Yes. So, can we grow and develop in this gift? Definitely. But at the essence of it all, it is a present from the Heavenly Father. In Mark, the 9th chapter, the father of a very sick boy pleads with Jesus to heal his son, and that Papa says to the Savior, I believe, help my unbelief. I worked with an associate pastor in a city not too far from here, and she said, I never have understood that passage. He says, I believe, and then right away says, help my unbelief? Well, what is it? One or the other? Well, I think it can be both. Help my unbelief. It's my prayer sometimes. Yes, God has given us all a sufficient measure of faith, but there are occasions when fear mixes in with it. Yet in prayer, we ask our Maker to help remedy, help remove, help minimize the unbelief and maximize all the faith. And I expect that that's your prayer too, now and then. I believe, dear Lord, help remedy my unbelief. That is a prayer God will answer. I don't know, but has it been a while since you've asked the Lord to refortify your faith? Presbyterian minister Lloyd Ogilvie shares with us, he says, while driving to a speaking engagement in Southern California, he says, I passed through the little town of San Juan Capistrano. The line from the song, when the swallows come back to Capistrano, well, that immediately came to mind, he says, and I began humming that old tune. I remembered that for more than 170 years, those golden-breasted swallows have spent their summers in the eaves of the old Mission Church complex located there. They always arrive on March 19th and leave on October 23rd, never missing those dates. Not once have they varied over the years. Even leap year does not change the times of their coming and going. Well, the swallows, Dr. Ogilvie, don't really track leap year. Bless his heart. They start out always before daylight back on their southern flight to Mexico. He says, now, how would we explain their times and schedules? Explain nature's guidance? Luck? Coincidence? He says, well, let me tell you, the swallow's creator has placed within those little creatures an instinct that tells them with uncanny accuracy when to head south and when to return. Their survival depends on this innate sense of timing. What meticulous care God Almighty exercises to guide the swallows and all the birds of the air. But consider how much greater value we are to God than those tiny birds. Yet the one who has so wondrously provided for our feathered friends is certainly interested in the human being who is made, says throughout the scriptures, in the very image of the Lord Almighty. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Asks the Savior. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You remind me, please, and I'll try to remind you. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Amen.